Well, this is a good day to be sitting on the right side of the church, isn't it? You see, but it said, he will say to those on his right, so that means you guys. You goats. If only it were that easy to figure it out, right? Well, I sometimes put a title on my homilies, and the title I gave this homily is The Problem with Hippos. And this week, I read a story. Some of you probably read it. And the Lord points these things out to me, and I was praying about it. I couldn't get this out of my head, this story. And I realized it was ideal for this gospel. There's a man in South Africa who came across an abandoned, orphaned hippo. And so he cared for it and raised it and fed it. This hippo actually came when he called it by name, which is amazing for a wild animal of that kind. And as it grew, it continued to come to him. It became quite a large animal. And his neighbors told him he ought to set it free because it is, after all, wild and dangerous. And he said, no, it comes when I call it. It is my friend. And he would still feed it. As it grew up, it began to forage into neighbors' fields and ate a few sheep and goats. It kind of fits this gospel, doesn't it? He ate them. But still, he said, you know, he knows me from his birth. You know, I'm a parent to this animal. It won't hurt me. And then, of course, in the end, it turned and killed him for no reason at all one day. And I thought about that. I prayed for him. I just thought, what a parable that is of how we have hippos in our lives that we nurture and we think it won't hurt us. It's called sin. And we've accommodated it. We've lived with it. It's become a friend. And yet it will turn on us in the end and bite us and kill us. Think of an addiction, for example. It's not a friend. It's something that's going to get you in the end, but we don't see it. Everyone else does. So our Lord calls us to watch out for hippos, and today we don't look for the obvious ones. You know, the church there's two different kinds of sin in the Bible. One is what the church calls commission. That's when things you do to others, gossip or murder or whatever. Then we have, those are obvious hippos, and we have the less one obvious ones, the sins of omission. And this is what the gospel is about today, what I didn't do. And having heard confessions for 15 years, I can tell you that the sins of omission don't come up very often. And I don't confess them much either. And so you listen to this and you realize that what Christ is looking for is not just the obvious stuff, but he puts things in our path for our spiritual growth. And if I have a habit of missing them, maybe I ought to start looking, because Christ will come in disguise. Now this gospel is one of my very favorite ones. The two favorite ones I like to hear every year is All Saints Day, because you have all these people around the throne from every time and place, and I think, boy, I'm in this picture. Hopefully, please God, you know, I'm going to be in this picture, and you're going to be too. We'll all be there together, you know. And then this gospel is the same way, where everybody who ever lived is going to be around the throne of God. I like to picture it. Over the years, I've changed my image. Now I see it more as a kind of a living hologram. You can just imagine the size of this thing with Christ in the center. And Christ is our Savior, right? You know, we think of him as the divine, merciful shepherd. And yet, in this gospel, he comes as a judge. The two seem opposite, but God is perfect mercy and perfect justice. For those of us who loved him and wanted him for our Savior, we ask forgiveness, he is still the Savior. But for those who rejected him, whose lives were selfish, who did not care about anyone but themselves, these are selfish people that in this gospel that are condemned, they will see him as a judge, because he'll be threatening to them. Oh, you really did exist. Oh, I lived my life wrong. I don't trust you. I'm afraid of you. I'm afraid of what you're going to do to me. It's not the way he is. It's the way they see him. And they're going to be afraid of him, and they're going to run away from him and be condemned. This is why the stakes are so high on earth, what I'm doing now. It's the same God in two different perspectives, you see. So here we have all the nations of the world gathered. like I said, a hologram in three dimensions. Every nation that ever existed will all be put together again. For better or for worse, we will be the Americans in world history. It should be an interesting moment to see where we fit in and what we inherited and what we did and what our effects had on others. But we're also going to be in different groups, you know, the same Ed's group and, I don't know, the Jervis group, huh? And we've got the Catholics and the Muslims and the Protestants and all of us. And God will explain. We won't even have to ask why things were the way they were. Why did these things happen? But the Lord doesn't reveal at this time all the questions, all the answers to our questions. He just tells us what we need to know. And this judgment, this moment, is about one particular weave through history. Yes, he's going to explain God's action in the world. But it's really all about your action and my action and, for our purposes, St. Ed's action. How did it affect the world around me? That little decision I made for someone else, how did that affect them? And they turned around and affected others. I was kind to somebody at Thanksgiving. They turned around and they were kind to someone else, and a chain reaction began through time. In fact, it went on beyond my death in some cases. You've done things that have affected people that will go on beyond your lifetime. And the Lord's going to show you every single chain of event that began. Also on the negative side, this is why it's so important to ask forgiveness. It stops that from continuing. We will not be condemned for the negative thing that goes on. The effect continues, even though we're forgiven sometimes. If I don't ask God's forgiveness, it's going to continue, and I'm going to see the effect of what I did. I didn't repent of it. I wasn't sorry. And look what it did. But the emphasis here, the longer list, is on what they did, not what they didn't. Most of the gospel is about what they did. That's very encouraging. And what I find surprising about this gospel is that we will all be surprised. We've heard this gospel. We know that feeding the sick and clothing the naked, St. Ed seems to do all those things, don't they? If you've never been to visit someone in prison, you're not alone. I think most of us have not done that. And yet, the Lord will say to you on the last day, thank you for visiting me in prison. You'll say, I never did that, Lord. I expect you to thank me for other things. He'll say, well, this is just an example. You tithed to St. Ed, and somebody did that, and you supported it. They bought Bibles, and they did that in your name. You're going to say, whoa, I didn't know that was so powerful. I got credit for that. But we also are going to have things that we don't realize are Jesus. For example, something as simple as you go in the hardware store, I've used this before, you look behind you to see if there's someone coming instead of slamming the door in your face. That was Jesus. A little thing like that. I don't know how many times my day's been ruined by having a door slammed in my face. I just thought, bang, you know, or you go to the grocery store and you think to just put the little bar there between the stuff, and you know what I mean? To think about someone besides yourself, that's what I'm getting at. And these are the little things. I was the person behind you in line. I love the grocery store because it's such a wonderful place to get insights. I was the checker. I said hello to you and you just looked at me and didn't say a word. That was Jesus, you see. We have to think outside the box a little bit. And another thing that I thought of, and it is thinking outside the box, speaking of being inside a box, we are in a church. Some of you here are founders of the parish. We're a young parish. Most parishes in this diocese don't have the founders still living. Many people, most of whom are gone, sacrificed to make this church come into being. They came over from St. Vincent, bought this land, put this church up. It was over many years that this came together the way it is now. And we are the beneficiaries. Those who did this are going to be told, you put this up, and now we have 187 ministries going on and meetings, and it's because you sacrificed and made it possible. And so when we think about doing something more in 100 years, they won't remember me or you, but the ministries hopefully will continue with the space because you need something to do it in. And that is a good work also. The Lord is going to surprise us because we aren't thinking in terms of a test. Our Lord makes it very clear in this. Life is not what we think it is. Life is only a test. Here you have around you Hitler and the people he killed. You know, nobody died. Yeah, they did die, but they're back to life again. It was only a test. You see, all was for nothing. All that evil was for nothing. And there they are. And I have to face the consequences of every evil action. What a horrible moment if I've never been said I'm sorry to these people. What a horrible moment if I've been a gossip all my life and I have to see the horrible damage that I did. That's murder. I wouldn't. But to say I'm sorry, it stops it all. And so our Lord invites us to be very careful. This is a timed test. We don't know how long it will last. That's one of the parameters. What we don't know is how long it will last. We do know he set up the test and then left the room. He said, I'm going to leave the room, and now I'm going to come to you during the test under many different forms. You will not recognize me. I tell you, you will not recognize me. I will come when you're not expecting it. I will not come in a form that you're expecting. I will come at Thanksgiving with that relative who brings that asparagus surprise, you know, that you don't want to eat. And you have to smile and say, thank you, Aunt Helen, for that lovely dinner. You know, that was Jesus, you see. And I'm going to come and give you that test. And he tells us exactly what he's looking for. And yet we're going to be surprised. So our Lord then warns us to be very careful. If you're keeping hippos in your the stable of your heart, be careful, because if they're wild animals, they're going to come and get us. We have two kinds of hippos that we keep. One is called sins of commission. The other is sins of omission. They may seem to be friends, but in the end they will turn and get us, because the Lord is the one who set up the test of life, and he's the one that will judge between the sheep and the goats.